In the cold aftermath of the 2020 election, a dangerous plot was unfolding. Kevin McCarthy privately confided to Liz Cheney that Trump knew he had lost, yet hours later appeared on Fox News claiming the opposite. This wasn't mere political theater. It was the beginning of a calculated assault on American democracy. Trump's strategy wasn't spontaneous, but premeditated. As Steve Bannon later revealed, what Trump's going to do is just declare victory. When you wake up Wednesday morning, it's going to be a firestorm. The warning signs multiplied rapidly. Trump began unprecedented personnel changes at the Pentagon, installing loyalists in critical defense positions during the vulnerable transition period. By December, his desperate attempts to overturn the election intensified through multiple fronts. Despite filing over 60 lawsuits challenging the results, he lost virtually all of them, with judges, including many Trump appointees, consistently finding no evidence supporting his fraud allegations. When Attorney General Bill Barr publicly stated the Justice Department found no significant fraud, Trump's fury only grew. The situation escalated dangerously when Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton filed a constitutionally dubious Supreme Court case challenging election results in four battleground states. Representative Mike Johnson circulated an email claiming Trump personally requested all Republican House members join an amicus brief supporting Texas, adding ominously that Trump would be anxiously awaiting the final list to review. What makes this moment so chilling is how quickly party loyalty overshadowed constitutional duty. When faced with choosing between political survival and defending democracy, too many chose the former. The question that haunts these pages isn't just what happened on January 6th, but how close we came to losing everything and whether we've truly escaped the danger. Cheney and her husband drafted a memo clarifying Congress's purely ministerial role in counting electoral votes. They had no constitutional authority to overturn an election. The Electoral Count Act required Congress to accept state governors' certifications as conclusive. Trump and his allies sought to overturn the election by pressuring Vice President Pence to reject legitimate electoral votes and creating fraudulent alternate electors in Biden-won states. Cheney organized a letter from all living former defense secretaries warning against military involvement in election disputes. On New Year's Day, her father told her, "Defend the Republic, daughter." She replied, "I will, Dad, always." After a contentious White House meeting with Sidney Powell and Michael Flynn, Trump tweeted, "Big protest in D.C. on January 6th. Be there. We'll be wild." Words that would prove devastating. The crisis revealed the true meaning of the official oath, not loyalty to party or person, but a sacred promise to defend the Constitution against all enemies. As January 6th approached, tensions escalated. At a House Republican meeting, Mike Johnson claimed states had unconstitutionally changed election rules, while Representative Mike Gallagher warned of a powder keg. Eric Trump threatened dissenting Republicans on Fox News, declaring their political career is over, as host Sean Hannity privately worried about the next 48 hours. In the Oval Office on January 5th, Trump gave Pence an ultimatum: you can either go down in history as a patriot, or you can go down in history as a pussy. After Trump urged crowds to fight like hell at the Ellipse, violence erupted. Capitol Police Officer Caroline Edwards described a war zone where she slipped in people's blood. Officer Michael Fanone was beaten and tased as rioters chanted, "Kill him with his own gun." For 3 hours, Trump watched the attack from the White House dining room, ignoring pleas to intervene from staff, family, and congressional leaders. In the immediate aftermath of January 6th, Republican leaders briefly acknowledged Trump's responsibility, with McCarthy calling his actions atrocious and totally wrong, and Republican staff attorneys deeming them a high crime and misdemeanor. This clarity was short-lived. McCarthy soon reversed course on Fox News, dismissing impeachment as purely political. He visited Trump at Mar-a-Lago weeks after the attack, claiming concern for Trump's well-being, though the real motivation was access to Trump's donor base after corporate donors withdrew support. When Liz Cheney refused to support Trump's election claims, she faced removal from leadership, criticized for her tone and defiant attitude. In her final address, she warned that following Trump would destroy the party and emphasized the need for a Republican Party based on truth. The response to January 6th revealed how character manifests in moments of crisis rather than times of ease. The January 6th Select Committee, led by Cheney, interviewed over 1,000 witnesses and reviewed millions of documents across 9 public hearings. Former Attorney General Bill Barr testified to dismissing Trump's election fraud claims as bullshit, while multiple White House officials confirmed informing Trump of his defeat. The investigation revealed Trump's pressure campaign on state officials, including his call with Georgia's Brad Raffensperger, demanding to find 11,780 votes, actions that sparked violent threats against election workers. White House aide Cassidy Hutchinson exposed Trump's volatile behavior during the Capitol attack, including his apparent support when told supporters wanted to hang Vice President Pence. The committee uncovered a 7-part plan to overturn the election through false claims, official pressure, fake electors, Justice Department manipulation, Pence coercion, supporter mobilization, and enabling violence. Federal Judge David Carter concluded Trump likely corruptly attempted to obstruct Congress. After leading the January 6th committee, Cheney lost her Wyoming primary by 40 points. In defeat, she displayed the honorable conduct Trump had refused, warning that our democratic institutions don't defend themselves. Through her great task pack, Cheney crossed party lines to support Democrats Slotkin and Spanberger against election deniers. Their victories proved Americans would reject Trump's false election claims. Cheney warns of Trump's escalating threats to democracy. He's declared the Constitution suspendable, justified January 6th, and promised retribution if reelected, signaling his intent to dismantle constitutional safeguards in a second term. America's tradition of peaceful power transfers from Jefferson in 1801 to Ford in 1976 stands threatened by Trump's actions and his bid to regain power. Liz Cheney's stand shows how democracy survives through individuals choosing principle over power. She drew strength from historical examples of moral courage, from Lincoln to Japanese Americans who stayed patriotic despite wartime internment. The costs were steep. She faced death threats and lost relationships, including a 60-year friendship between her mother and a January 6th denier. Yet hope surfaced unexpectedly. After her concession speech, a young woman told her, "I don't know if I agree with you on policy, but I want to fight for our Constitution with you." This sentiment, particularly from young Americans, reveals an enduring commitment to constitutional principles. Democracy requires constant vigilance. In constitutional crises, the key question isn't what others will do, but what you will do when choosing between silence and courage. Freedom depends on citizens willing to defend truth at personal cost. The oath to protect the Constitution extends to all who value liberty.